On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. This is Radio Fairfax. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and joining us today, I'm really thrilled to have Senator Mike Schneider from Nevada. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. I know that these are very busy times for you, and that it's been hard getting you because we've had problems here, and you've been otherwise busy doing all sorts of other things. So I'm really glad we finally got a place to come. So tell us, catch us up on what's going on in Nevada.
Well, you know, in Nevada, we always keep it interesting out here. And actually, there's been an investigation by the feds into homeowner associations out here. It started, it started in 09, actually. And, in 08, started in 08. And so the feds have been investigating the HOAs for corruption. And mainly it started because of construction defect corruption in the HOAs. And where they went in, attorneys went into the HOAs and they rigged elections to for the boards to get their people in place so they could then start construction defect litigation. And they had their own contractor selected, and I mean it was a rigged deal from start to finish. They hired a local political operative to help them rig the elections. One of the things they did, they crossed state lines, so that really got the feds involved. And how they crossed state lines, they knew who voted in elections on a regular basis and who didn't. And we have here in Las Vegas, we have a lot of units that are owned by Californians that use them as vacation homes and that. And so they knew a lot of those people weren't voting, and so they filled ballots out for them and mailed them from California. And the problem is they mailed them all from, like, the same zip code.
At the same time.
Yeah, same time, all that. So, you know, but so it was pretty easy to trace. But by doing that, now you used the U.S. mails, you cross state lines. So they were in a lot of trouble. That's one of the things that they did, mail fraud and that. So they did that. But the reason the feds were able to get involved was because here in Nevada, we have on the preamble of our law out here, and our law governing homeowner associations is Chapter 116 of the Nevada Revised Statutes. Well, the preamble to 116, we say in there that the homeowner associations are governments. And so that was the reason that the feds were able to get involved in a local issue like homeowner associations, because we call them governments, and the FBI's number one charge for the entire United States is political corruption. And because we deem these as governments and put it right in the law, that gave the FBI entree into their investigation.
So are you telling me that if you had not called them governments, that the FBI would not get involved?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. The FBI really, you know, because these are like homeowner associations are creations of the state, of Okay, so they're really like local type issues. They're under state control. And so the FBI won't, normally doesn't get involved in issues of the state. So it is because they are governments that then the FBI gets involved. So that's what they told me.
That's what they told you, huh?
Right.
And now...
So I would suggest in Virginia or other states, people listening, that probably they want to put it in a state... the state law and actually refer to homeowner associations as governments. And that way you have an opportunity, if there is corruption in HOAs, to get federal government help.
Now, you've been, let's give everybody who, some of the newer listeners who don't know you, Mike, let's introduce you to my new crop of listeners, and you have been a senator for a while. I read someplace that you're terming out now.
Right. I'm termed out. Nevada enacted term limits. They voted it in 96 and took effect in 97, started the 97 session. I believe that was the day, yeah. So, or maybe it was after that. I guess it was after that. So, it was 97 and it took effect. But if you were on the ballot in 96, you weren't affected by term limits until you ran the next time. So, that's how I was. I was under the law under that case. So I went 16 years in the state senate. I was 4 years in our assembly before that. But the term limits in Nevada are 12 years.
So, but ever since I've known you, which has been, since 1999?
Probably, yeah, something like that. Uh-huh.
So we go back a ways, hey?
Yeah.
You have been working on trying to get some form of regulation in Nevada on HOAs.
Right. We passed quite a few laws. 97 was our big one, where we redid Chapter 116 quite a bit, created the Office of Ombudsman. We created a lot in 97. In 99, we came back and did more. In 2001, 2003, we did more again. And it's just like building a ship, Once you build it, you see that, there are things you could have done differently. And, so that's how we went about it. We made changes each session to some of the stuff we did. And, we got resistance along the way from the industry.
I still play one-way ticket to hell every show.
Yeah. So it's hard to believe you get resistance to improve the industry, do some regulation. I guess it's kind of like Wall Street resisting regulations that they have there. So anyhow, it's been quite interesting, and because of our laws in place now, the FBI was able to get involved in the corruption here in Nevada, and the corruption here is don't make light of it. It's very, very serious what they did here from and it was all. It was all orchestrated so they could steal money, and that's what it's all about.
Would you believe me if I told you that Nevada is not the only state where these same things are happening?
Well, yeah, I know it's kind of nationwide, and some of these law firms that, here the big thing was the construction defect litigation, and these law firms, a lot of them are now they're. Not just in Nevada. I mean, it all started in California. It came to Nevada, Arizona, and it's in Texas and Florida, where these up in the state of Washington, Oregon, where these seedy law firms, they're just moving out across the nation. And where there was a lot of growth happening, they are preying on that growth. And, hey, you know, some of the homes weren't built well. Okay, let's be honest. There were some homes that were built too quick and were a little shoddy, and there were some defects. And, okay, we understand that, but a lot of this went way beyond that. You know, not every home in every homeowner association had a problem.
No.
Just the law of averages say you got to build one of those. One of them has to be built
right. You think one of them is going to be built properly by accident, right?
Right, that's correct. Yeah, but they,
that says a lot for our construction in this country.
Right, but they have sued every single house and condo in associations, and you know that are less than 10 years old under the statute of repose. They can go up to 10 years, and they just sue them all. And there's just so much money involved, and they've figured out how to do it, how to shake the builders and their insurance companies down. That's what they want, is they want access to the builders' insurance companies. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you introduce legislation trying to regulate this before the FBI got involved?
Yes, I've tried that. And it's, you don't talk about controversial, you know, what I found out here is this group of trial lawyers, I don't want to lump all trial lawyers together, but there's a group of construction defect trial lawyers that have, it seems like, an unlimited amount of cash. And they fight at every angle, to stop any reform in construction defect. They're kind of like the Wall Street bankers. You know, they figured out their deal, and they will go to any lengths to protect it. And, you know, they say, well, they're protecting the consumers. But, you know, the consumers never get made whole.
No, they don't.
Not even close. And some who have houses that don't have problems are now, you know, their title is actually clouded because they've been through construction defect, and all the issues that were raised, whether they're legitimate or not, are now part of the deal. And did you repair? You know, you sued on allegations that there were these certain defects. You sued and got money, and so were those corrected? And they're, after the attorneys take half of the money, and that's what they take.
Yeah.
We've seen them would take up to 54-55%. After they do that, you don't have enough money left to fix your house if there is truly defects. So there is a problem, and the, you know, I'm not saying do away with construction defect altogether. It has to be regulated in a better fashion, and the builders out here, the builders are being locked off their sites, out of the homeowner associations. They're being locked out. They can't go back in and repair anything if there truly are defects.
Why are they being locked out, Mike?
Well, because the attorneys don't get half of a repair. They, you know, if a builder comes in.
So it's the attorneys that are locking them out.
Right.
Not the homeowners.
Right. Okay. And if the attorneys, you know, if your house gets repaired, it gets fixed, and let's just say in an association there's $10 million worth of repairs that need to be done. You know, that would be a big deal. Well, if the repairs are made, how does the attorney get paid? So under that $10 million settlement, the attorney, you know, they're going to take half the money. And so they want a court award. They don't want repairs.
And then the homeowners are on the hook for
a special
assessment to make up the difference between what they got and what it's actually going to cost them to repair
right.
it. There have been stories, so many stories, of association of homeowners losing their homes because they couldn't afford the $100,000 special assessment
right.
that it would require to make those repairs.
Correct.
So what was your legislation? What did you wanted to do something. You wanted them, you wanted the developers to be able to go in and make the repairs, is that?
Right, uh-huh. The developers to make the repairs. And right now the attorneys are playing a gotcha stuff, you know. They go in, they do destructive testing, and say, here it is, and they lock the builders off the site. Now, the problem they run into is that in a lot of these associations, you know, they have a few little problems, but nothing major. And so to start one of these big lawsuits, these are kind of like it's like a class type suit because they do the whole association. So to do these, you need, I mean, it's a big deal, and you need permission of the board to do these. Well, you know, they weren't able to get permission of the board, and that's why they rigged the election so they could put their own people in to get them on the board so then they could start those lawsuits. That was the corruption of the boards, where they actually ran people in, and they would buy a unit in an association, a house or a townhome or whatever. They'd buy one, and then they'd put these particular people, they'd give them, the attorneys would buy them, they'd give the their people a 1% or 10%, whatever, ownership in it. And now they were an owner in the association, and now they would run for the board. And they'd get them elected because they'd rig the elections. And some of the people they started with, I mean, they started with the policemen, ex-cops or current cops, because people say, well, yeah, that's, he's a cop. Must be honest. Let's vote for him. And so the cop was in on the deal from day one. And, you know, that's how they started going, and it just got worse and worse. And when they couldn't finagle the people to vote for theirs, then they started rigging the elections. And, you know, it's very, very good orchestrated scheme they had going, and,
they got caught.
Eventually every crook gets caught, and, so, this, the FBI has, you know, they caught one attorney. Attorney's name is Nancy Kwan.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was, indicted, and, you know, they had her under investigation for quite a while. And so after
but Mike, wait a minute. She was not touched, was she? I mean, from everything I've read, she seemed to be the big prize. Everybody understood that she was going to be the big prize, but she'd not been indicted. Nothing had happened to her. Correct?
Nothing happened to her.
She eventually died, whether she committed suicide or not. And I read someplace where you're not buying into all of those four suicides involved in this.
Right. Well, Nancy Kwan did commit suicide.
She did or was killed?
Well,
officially
it's a suicide.
Officially it's a suicide.
Officially it was ruled suicide. She committed suicide, and she was the mastermind of her law firm going after this. She owned the law firm and everything, and she was the mastermind. There was another attorney involved,
David
with
Amesbury,
some stuff, and he committed suicide.
David Amesbury, but let's stop with David Amesbury for a while. He was also found beaten up and naked in what, some neighborhood? Was it his neighborhood?
It was in his neighborhood. Yes, in Southeast area of Las Vegas, Henderson area. Very nice neighborhood. he was beaten up real bad and actually kneecapped, you know, where they broke his kneecaps. So I don't know a lot about all this, but it seems to me like if you're beaten to a pulp and you were kneecapped, they broke your kneecaps, they were sending a message. Somebody was sending the message. That's what I read into it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on the same page there.
Yeah, so somebody was sending a message, and then he, a few months later, he supposedly hung himself at his brother-in-law's or brother's or something.
His brother's house in California.
Yeah, in California, the farm. They have a farm in Northern California. Supposedly he hung himself there out in the barn or an outbuilding out in back. So he's dead. And there was an ex-cop that was involved in all this, and he took a shotgun. He was the first guy to die. He took a shotgun to his head. And then there was another guy that was one of those illegal board members, and he mysteriously died of an overdose up in Reno. So they're kind of, you know, if you have one or two people commit suicide, okay, maybe it's kind of a coincidence, but in my opinion, and I'm just a layperson in all this, and I'm not a cop, investigate crimes, but once you get four, it's more than a coincidence, in my opinion. And so I just think that there's something else going on in there. Why would these people commit suicide? I mean, you got Bernie Madoff who swindled people out of a couple $1 billion, and he never committed suicide. You get
good point.
You get serial killers that don't commit suicide, but all of a sudden these people are committing suicide. And I'd like to point out that Nancy Kwan, I've been told she had so much money, and we're talking millions. That's what she made on these things. And she had a McMansion down there in Florida, because that's where you shelter. Real estate down in Florida, that's how you shelter a lot of money. She had a place in Florida. She had a villa or something like that in France. She had a place in South America, a place in Hawaii, several homes in Las Vegas, homes spread around, and there's she has a lot of cash stashed down in the islands, and millions, from what I understand, stashed down in the islands. So if somebody has these type of assets stashed around the world, basically, why don't they just flee instead of commit suicide? And so it just seems to me like there was a lot of pressure on her and Mamie, on her family, and the best way out for these people seems to me like I'll save my family and I'll commit suicide.
That's assuming they did commit suicide.
Right.
We're talking to Senator Mike Schneider of Nevada, and Senator Schneider has been instrumental in trying to regulate homeowner associations over the past 15 years, it sounds like. And Mike's been on the show before. Mike, again, thank you. But, you know, we talked about Amesbury. Amesbury was found naked, beaten to a pulp, kneecapped before he allegedly committed suicide. Nancy Kwan was also allegedly found semi-conscious after a failed attempt to commit suicide. I mean, again, it was an allegation that it was an attempted suicide. So this was not the first time.
Right. She had attempted before and actually had taken drugs and alcohol and set fire to her house.
Had she?
And pardon?
Had she?
Yeah, supposedly that's the deal. I mean, the house did burn, and you know, it was a real nice house, and what's called Rhodes Ranch, big golf course community, gated golf course community. The house burned, and she was saved by someone. But, you know, she really wasn't hurt in that fire, although she was had been passed out. But, anyhow, then she had another place where she'd been living in a really nice townhome or condo. And so she overdosed there, supposedly, I guess, in the bathtub. You know, who knows what's happening there with that?
Well, I think I share your opinion that, you know, one or two, maybe. But when you have four of them, and in two, and I don't know if the same thing has happened with the other two suicides, but at least in two of them, the two more prominent ones, Amesbury and Kwan, it was something had already happened before. This was not an initial attempt at suicide that succeeded. Like we talked about, Amesbury had been beaten up. Nancy Kwan had been in a burning house. There were rumors, allegations, questions as to whether she had been drugged.
Right.
So there are a lot of questions here.
Yeah, it's kind of like it should be a movie or something.
but you took this a step further. You wanted to set up an investigation into all of this.
Right.
And that didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I think that there's just so much corruption involved in all this. And I don't know. I don't think the public knows the amount of corruption. And the corruption is caused by the amount of money that's involved. And you, if you take just Las Vegas, not even the entire state, where you have Reno and that, Reno and Carson City and all that area, but just Las Vegas, I mean, the amount of money that was taken out of these associations in the form of construction defect, the amount of money runs into the billions. And when you have the attorneys looking at that money, and they can get half of it, you know, it's just, it's too much. And there's no control over that money at any point, especially if the elections have been rigged. And now you have control of the board. There's the courts, they would just award money, and here it is, and the insurance company writes a big, fat check, and to the tune of millions, you know, tens of millions in some cases, and it just goes to the HOA. And the attorney controls the board members and all that, and what happens to the money? And I'm telling you, Shu, in Las Vegas, it amounted to, I mean, it's well over $1 billion. It would be probably several billion that have passed hands here. And when you're talking that kind of money, with no controls, absolutely no control, the courts don't control it. There's no supervision by the state at any level. And so the money just flows in, and it's just open game. And that's what bothers me. And a lot of people, they say, well, keep the government out of my life, less and smaller government. Well, I think people are looking for government to protect them in some way also.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there is the conflict, you know, that we have to look at. And you know, when people, here we are in election season, and people, oh, keep the government out of my life, and I want less government or no government. We have a presidential candidate running on that, you know, reduce government, reduce regulation, and here you go, right here. Here's a prime example, and this is just like, I think, the Wall Street example. plenty of money, insider trading, you know, all that, no controls.
Corruption. There's just so much corruption. But we've been saying that for years. We've been saying that. We've been telling everybody. We've been talking to the legislators.
And they don't listen. And you have the industry, the HOA industry, and from management and all that, and they say, you know, and they get offended. They say, well, we're not corrupt. We, you know, our associations run properly. You know, we do it right. Our homeowners are happy. Well, homeowners, sure, they're happy. You know, they just want to come home, park in their garage, go in and sit down and have a glass of wine and fix dinner and not have anybody bother them. If they don't know anything bad's going on, they're happy. You know, and so. So some of these polls that you look at are bogus polls from day one.
You don't buy those either, Mike, hey?
No, not all of them, no, you know. You know, and I'm pretty sophisticated with polls. So, you know, I've been around this for 20 years. I'm pretty sophisticated, and there's such things as push polls that I'm really sophisticated with. And so... that's what you get coming out of these homeowner associations. They're more of push polls, where you're going to get the results you want. You push the homeowners and get the results you want. So, anyhow, I think that the industry has basically abandoned their obligation to the homeowner associations. You know, and the industry has been corrupted by the money also. And it's happened here in Las Vegas, where you've had management companies absolutely get bought and paid off by the attorneys.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's the management companies that are going to get them the jobs. They get in, they get a management gig with an association, and they say, oh, you know, I work really well with this other attorney. They've done a lot of work for me. Let's bring them on board. And pretty soon, your attorney's gone in another industry. I mean, it's like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Right.
They just keep changing.
And I'm kind of throwing a blanket over the whole industry and over every manager. I do have to say there are good managers out there, and there are some good management companies. But, you know, they get painted with this ugly brush when this happens. And shame on them for not stepping forward and being more aggressive in cleaning up their own industry.
Right. No, I absolutely agree with you, because the industry has said to me, well, you know, we agree there are some problems, but you don't talk about the good ones. There are some good ones.
Right.
But what are you doing about cleaning out the filth in there? You know.
Right. And I would say that for the HOA industry, and I'd also say that for the state bars, for letting these attorneys operate like they do, without for the state bars to do their own investigation and go in and audit some of these attorneys. Shame on state bars for not doing that, because this is a cottage industry with so much money going on. And I've talked to other attorneys, and they say, oh, you know, they'll move on to another area once they've run their course here. Well, sure, but is that what you want?
Well, you know, the ones in Las Vegas, or in Los Angeles, wrote in their magazine back during their 25th anniversary or whatever anniversary they were celebrating, was that they wrote themselves a recession-proof career. And a lot of them were in, you know, were divorce attorneys. And when divorces became too expensive and there were do-it-your-own divorces and people just, you know, not bothering to get a divorce or whatever, their income went down. So they looked around. These are the ambulance chasers. I guess once an ambulance chaser, always an ambulance chaser. They found this industry, and they decided to write themselves a recession-proof career. And now we see the results of what they've done.
Right. Well, while no one was looking, they had their hand in the cookie jar.
Yep.
And that cookie jar was full of the best fudge in the world, actually. And so they just helped themselves. They didn't just, you know, they stole the entire cookie jar. And so they've been operating unchecked for a lot of years. And it's gotten really easy for them. And you know, hey, you do what you can do as a legislator, but you can, and I realize that, hey, these attorneys are spending, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to spin the minds of legislators. They're spending hundreds of thousands or millions, you know, it's in the millions, spinning legislators. It's in the millions, wine and dining and corrupting the board members and the managers. And I would tell you that I think most people get in the management of the homeowner associations, and they have nothing but the best at heart. But when somebody starts waving tens of thousands of dollars in front of their face, and they're making $5 or $6 a door managing them, and they're doing 7, 8, 9 associations, and they're overworked, underpaid, they're ripe to be influenced by attorneys. And so that's my theorizing on it.
I have two questions that I would like us to sort of debate. Number one is the perennial one. Do we really need associations? But I want to come back and do that secondly. But the first and most important question is, what exactly is buried in this entire investigation? That what are we going to discover, uncover? Are we going to get to the bottom of it? What would, if these are in fact suicides, what would warrant people to commit suicide?
Yeah, you're fading down a little bit.
I'm sorry. Why would, what's going on, and what are we going to uncover? And what is it that would warrant 4 suicides? I suppose we're still counting because we're still not done with this, and there's a possibility that more people will die before this is all over with.
Yeah, God forbid that it happened. But, yeah, I mean, there's always that possibility. You know, I wish the investigation by the Fed was going faster, and let me indicate to your listening audience that Washington, D.C. sent in other people to help with this investigation, that the FBI had some sort of problem here. Maybe stuff was getting leaked out or whatever, the FBI office, so the Justice Department sent out investigators.
So wait a minute. These are still, everything is still within the FBI. So it's the FBI in Nevada.
The FBI, but it's now kind of moved over to the Department of Justice, is what
okay.
I understand.
Okay.
All right. So there may have been some sort of leaks or something. Something wasn't kosher with the FBI, is what I understand. So anyhow. I've just heard that, but I do know there were people sent in from the Department of Justice to start investigating. So, having said that, and I don't have all the details on that, I'm just repeating what I've been told. So, and it gets to the whole thing, I wish this would go faster, this investigation. But I, you know, to do a good investigation, and it's hard to put it all together. I understand that. I would hate to have to put it all together myself. But so they're doing that. But you know, there's the rumors on the street. The rumor mill is just rampant out here. Rumors on the street are that they're going to get a judge. So, you know, and that's been a rumor for, I can tell you, probably 2 years. And every 2 months, they indict, the feds indict a couple more people. And they seem to be working their way up the food chain. And, you know, as they indict people, people are, they're plea bargaining is what they're doing. And the, I guess that it's in August, September, something like that, they're going to start some sentences on some of these people. They just plea bargained. They're going right to the judge. The judge has set sentencing dates. So they're pleading out, and I don't know what information they're giving the feds, but they're trying to get reduced sentences for turning their information over and for pleading guilty themselves. And I know that they got a political operative. He was the very first one to fall here in Las Vegas. And he was a guy that ran political campaigns here. And so he really knew how to rig elections, I guess. Fortunately, he was the opposite party as me. And not that my party's always so good about things. But, but fortunately, he was the opposite party. So, anyhow, he was rigging some elections, and he did. He was the first one. He pleaded guilty and trying to get a reduced sentence, and so he's up. I think August or September to be sentenced, and they got a lady that was one of the managers, one of the association managers, and a little quick story on her. They let her out on bail, right? So she's out on the street. Now they arrested her for hooking.
From one branch of the business to the other, right?
Yeah. So they put her back in jail. But I just shook my head and laughed on that one. My wife and I got a nice chuckle out of that.
I bet you some of my listeners are going to be giggling when they hear this one too.
Yeah. So, but they got several. They've got I think more than a dozen people now have all pleaded guilty and.
Well, I think the last count I heard was 20.
Well, that's what I've heard too. Up in that number 20 some, but I know it's more than a dozen. So.
And there's a couple of them that are being that are coming out today, the 31st. I read. There's another police officer.
Well, yeah, you read these things, and then you know, will it happen or not? I don't know. But the big thing is those all the rumors on a judge, and if in fact there's a judge involved, and that goes to the construction defect, you know, and the judge awarding these things, and if those attorneys were able to get a judge, oh my gosh, you know, that'd be devastating.
Well, okay, Amesbury's wife was a judge, and
yeah,
she resigned.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
I don't know if there's going to be a connection there or not.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't believe she was a... You know, out here we have a construction defect court. There were just so many of them, they had to set up a whole separate court for them. And so, if, you know, I guess if the rumor mill's right, it would be a judge. I guess that'd be the first place you'd look at one of those. I sure hope it's... they don't get a judge. Judges weren't corrupted.
Well, there's this article that I've got in front of me, HOA defendant jailed until sentencing, and this is the story that you just talked about, which was posted May 15th. So it's about 2 weeks old. And it says that an additional 14 defendants are to plead guilty May 31 to conspiracy charges before U.S. District Judge James Mahan. Retired Las Vegas Police Lieutenant Ben Kim also is to enter a guilty plea on May 31 in a bank fraud scheme tied to the Homeowner Association investigation. So if we've got 20 now, and if this is correct, and we're going to get an additional 14 today,
right?
We've got, gee, we could send them all to a desert island and have them start their own country.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to, what's the big thing that they're going to uncover? Do you know, Mike, any
what's
idea? What's the biggest thing that they're going to uncover? Will we know the truth?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think they ever get, they uncover everything. I just don't know. I think the whole thing is, though, here's what I think. They have this one law firm, you know, Nancy Kwan's law firm. Well, she worked there before she started her own law firm. She worked for about three other law firms that did CD litigation. And then she went and started her own. And so just speculating, she didn't learn all this on her own. You know, so I would think there would be other firms that the feds would be looking at. And I think it's just widespread. And so, you know, I'm just speculating here. And but at least I hope the feds look at more than just her law firm, and you know, because it just seems to me that it's just such a massive thing. I would hope they'd look at a lot of law firms and just go in and pull their records and start doing forensic audits and look at everything, talk to people on different boards outside of Nancy Kwan's controlled boards, really, you know, turn the whole plate upside down here and look at everything, and look and see how easy it is to corrupt these associations. And they cannot recommend to the legislature laws to write or change. They cannot do that. They're restricted from doing that. But they can give us a paper and that we could look at, the legislature could look at, that shows, well, here were problems. You know, here are problem areas. And then the legislature could address it with laws to try to plug the holes in the law where these attorneys operate.
I was sent court documents from Florida where the same thing was going on, and one of the litigators was, do you want to take a guess who? Nancy Kwan was actually one of the attorneys on that particular case that I was sent.
In Florida,
right.
Yeah.
You don't sound
that's what
too surprised.
These law firms have spread out across the country.
You don't sound too surprised that she would actually be litigating, doing the same thing in Florida at the same time.
No. No, I'm not surprised at all. Because, you know, after you clear cut the forest in Las Vegas, meaning you've sued everything, you know, where's the next place to go? And the next place to go is, you know, you go to Arizona, you go to Texas, you go to Florida, you go to where there was a lot of housing built in the last, you know, 10, 12 years. And that's what you do, because you get all this housing. And it's, you know, you're in under the statute of repose, so you go there and just start running your scam and get all these homeowners to sue, and you know, you go from there. It's a business model that works for them. And you know, a week or two ago, there in down Disneyland here at the Disneyland Hotel and Conference Center, the construction defect industry had a big convention down there, and I've gone and I went once before in the past year just to observe it, and I'll tell you what, it's quite the deal. All the construction defect attorneys are there. They have judges come in. They talk about how to do all this and different decisions.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. It's West Coast, I forget what they call it, West Coast litigation, something like that. They've had Nevada Supreme Court justices down. They pay their way to come down and do that. And I don't know if they give them a per diem or what they do. They have some of our district judges down. But this year, I can tell you that the local newspaper has assigned a reporter to this whole thing, and he's doing an investigative piece. He's already met with me, and so he went down to that because he called me.
Okay.
He was going down, and he actually called me from there. He says, "You can't believe it. We have Supreme Court justices that are down here." I said, "Oh, I know." and I know who they are, you know. It's like, you know. he's been assigned for like 2 or 3 months to work on this, to do an expose story.
Amazing.
And like I say, he's already interviewed me, and he wants to be able to come back and interview me again after he's talked to some people. So,
Mike, we're almost out of time.
Right.
I want to thank you for coming on, but before I let you go, do you think there's any way of controlling associations, or do we even need associations?
Well, I do think they can be controlled, okay? And do we need them? You know, we're locked into so many of them now.
The existing ones, but do we have to keep building them?
Right, the existing ones. I would be...
You know, the good thing is that they're not going to last very long. They weren't built properly, right?
Yeah.
There's a silver lining someplace in there, Mike.
Right. But, you know, as you get to cities, Miami, you know, Las Vegas, New York, whatever, you have to build condos because people live in the middle of the city.
That's a different issue.
Right.
Condo's a different issue.
But condos are the same issue because they're suing those condos here in Las Vegas, the high-rise condos. They're suing those, too.
Yeah.
We built a plethora of them during the boom. And they're suing those. So you're going to have HOAs going forward, and I think, but I do think the builders are going to build differently so they don't have them. But I'll tell you what, the CD attorneys are bringing houses in 5, 6, 7 at a time now, and they just go through a subdivision. It isn't an HOA, and they do 5, 6, 7 of them at a time. So it's a problem we have. That's a CD problem. But HOAs are
CD.
They're unique. I choose not to live in one.
Oh, okay.
Where my permanent residence is, I just really don't want to live in one. And
you're
I know
not
a
alone.
Lot of people that don't.
Yeah, you're not alone.
And I've never lived in one for my permanent residence. Next week I'll be married 39 years, and my wife and I have never had to hire an attorney to get along with our neighbors.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It's absolutely amazing.
And we don't receive a bill every month to manage us. So
you mean you don't need to be managed either?
No, no, I don't.
Mike, thank you. Good luck.
All right.
I hope you'll come back.
Well, I'll be around out here, Shu.
I got your cell phone number. Don't change it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Shu.
Thank you so much. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.